All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy in chapter number 4. 1 Timothy in chapter number 4. Of course, last Sunday, it was a thin crowd because we didn't have church, amen, because we went from 2 inches of snow to 12, didn't feel it was best to come out and all of that. But I'm glad you're here this morning, and we are still looking at relationships. Relationships. Remember how we started off when it was concerning relationships? We said that the greatest or most important relationship was a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not about doing something so that God will see what you're doing and then say, oh, I can weigh out the good or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ is admit that you have sinned against Him. Admit that you have sinned against a holy God. God is perfect. He has no flaw. He has no sin. Everything that God does is exactly right. God is just. God is righteousness. He is light. He is purity. He is holy. We, as His creation, have sinned against Him. And what we need to do is we need to repent. We need to turn away from our sinful lives and turn to God. God never has you leave something and not turn to something. And through salvation, you leave your sin, you leave your sinful life, and you turn to God, and you ask of Him to save you. And He will. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or anything like that. He will save you. He will forgive you of your sins, and He will save you. That's the most important relationship. And today, we're going to look at relationships again, making them what they are. Making our relationships what they are. Your relationships that you have with other people and connections in the world, it's up to you how the relationship is made. 1 Timothy in chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The Apostle Paul is writing a young man named Timothy. Let's read it again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to You now asking You, God, to direct us, lead us. Lord, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, O Heavenly Father. Speak to us. Allow the Spirit of God to move and touch our souls, God. We ask You now to bless the time of Your Word being given out, Your message being given out. We ask You now, Heavenly Father, to help us, strengthen us, encourage us in our relationships. We ask You now, God, to do a work, Lord. Do a work in our lives. We can leave the house today saying that God has met with us. Lord, we praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It will be what you put into it. It will be what you put into it. Whether it be work, whether it be church, whether it be play, whether it be relationships, it will be what you put into it. It's important to understand that. I remember that when I played football, my football coach, this was something that he said. He said, it will be what you put into it. Now, of course, he was talking about on the field. He was talking about in practice. He was talking about in weightlifting. He was talking about in all the things that they had before us to do. He says, it will be what you put into it. It will be, and he said, that then will incorporate into what is going to happen on game day. Let me say to you that when things come into your relationship and things that are hard, things that are difficult, if you haven't put time into it, if you haven't put intelligence into it, what's going to happen when the storms do come? What's going to happen when the boughs are blowing and the winds are forceful in your life and in your relationship? When the things that are difficult beyond getting bad food or beyond having money problems or things like that, rough times, hard times in your relationships. I'm not just talking about marriages, but marriage is one thing that when we see that we look at that two have come together, the Bible teaches us that God has brought them together. And as we see that they have come together and they have made vows one to another, and then all of a sudden, she burns the biscuits and he leaves his dirty clothes laying around everywhere. If you haven't invested, are you listening to me? Invested into that relationship, what are you going to do when those things come? What are you going to do when it's harder than that? What are you going to do when some sorry woman tries to step in between your relationship or some sorry man tries to step in between your relationship? Let me say that all of our relationships, whether it be with coworkers, whether it be with neighbors, whether it be with family, it takes some putting into it. It is an investment. It is for the long haul. We have to look at it as something that is going to be way out in the future. Some of us need to put a little sweat into our relationships. Amen? Some of us need to put some tears into our relationships. And yes, there are times when we have to put a little blood into our relationships. Are you willing to do that? That's the question. Are you willing to do that for your relationships? Let me tell you something. What I have discovered personally, as I have preached on several different continents and been in several different countries in the world, I have realized something. In reality, when it comes to relationships, there are two kind of people in the world. Only two. There are two kind of people in the world. There are givers and there are takers. There are givers and there are takers. That's the only kind of two people there are in relationships. You know what's amazing, though, is that givers, for some reason, givers are attracted to takers because they like to give. They give out. They give to. They will do everything for the other person. And it's easy to see that takers like givers, amen, because they just want to take. I have found this to be true throughout anywhere that I have been. It doesn't matter if you're in America. It doesn't matter if you're in Cape Verde, West Africa. There are givers and takers in relationships. But you know what? Everybody wants. I don't care who you are. Everybody wants a little help sometimes. Everybody wants a little soothing sometimes. Amen? Everybody, let's be honest this morning. Y'all nod your head with me. Wave a hand or something. Everybody wants to be pampered at some time. Come on now. Yep, we all want somebody to give to us, do we not? Whether we're givers or not, we still want a reciprocal of it. Let me say this, be careful though, as a giver. Be careful if you're a taker and you have a relationship with the giver, because givers cannot last when no one is giving back. I have seen givers go through life for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, the river dries up. Now, the Tweedies know a little bit about something about drying up. Their well dried up. They couldn't get water out of that thing. They have no, it's not coming in. They cannot turn on the faucet. They're not getting anything out of that. Let me say what can happen with somebody that's a giver. They're a giver. That thing can dry up. And what is happening is, it's because the taker is not giving to them. And so we find and see that in life, we find givers and takers, but even givers cannot last when one is not giving back to them. Let me say to you that we all want, amen, we all have desires, do we not? Let me give you five. These are not my points, but let me give you five important things about giving. This is not original to me. This came from a book called The Five Love Languages. Many of you probably read the book. Many of you know the book. Here's the five ways that people understand or feel love. Number one, giving quality time. Giving quality time. Quality time, men. Quality time is not sitting in the same room while you're watching football. That's not quality time. Quality time is doing something together that has the same interest or same focus. Quality time is not watching the news while the other person's in the room. Amen? That's not quality time. And so what we have to do is we have to find a likeness. We have to find something that we can have together. Quality time. Number two, giving acts of service. Doing something for somebody. Doing something for them. You see that they need something. You see that they need a hand. You see that they need something taken care of, and you do it for them. I have a friend of mine who is, I'm obsessive compulsive. I like things in order in a certain way and so forth and so on. But I have a friend of mine, he is light years past me, man. And he likes everything a certain way and a certain likeness and so forth and so on. And when they first got married, he was really struggling in his relationship. He was frustrated by it. She talked to me and she said, I need some counseling in this thing. I shared this book with her, The Five Love Languages. And I said, where do you think he's at? Where do you think it is? She said, it's acts of service. And one day he came home and she said, look, honey. She said, I cleaned the kitchen for you. He said, you did? It looks good. Look at that. And guess what she got that night? Quality time. Her love language was quality time. His love language was acts of service. She said, I cleaned the kitchen for you. He said, well, let me spend a little time with you. Amen. She decided that she was going to be a giver of acts of service. Number three, giving words of affirmation. It's okay to say to somebody, you did a good job. It's okay to tell somebody, thank you, you did well in that. Thank you for doing that for me. I appreciate you. It's okay to pat somebody on the back. We talk about swelling of heads and so forth and so on. Who cares if their head gets swollen up? You might need to help them with some words of affirmation. Thirdly, giving personal touch. Now, y'all know I don't hug, all right? Now, you're going to get a stiff arm. Now, Miss Dorothy, she hugs me. Miss Agnes, she hugs me. And that's about as far as we're going, all right? Now, they kind of force hug me, but it's all right. It's all right. So let me say, though, there are some people that respond to love by a touch. There was a man in Africa who every time we had a conversation, he always touched me on my arm. He touched me on my shoulder. He touched me on my elbow. Every time that we had a conversation, he would always reach out and touch me. I had read this book and understood that he was demonstrating to me that he loved me. He cared about me by putting his hand upon me. So I always remembered every time that I was around him that I made sure that I touched him on the shoulder. I touched him on the elbow. And, of course, in Cape Verde, West Africa, the men hold hands when they're having conversations. See, we put that in our mind like that's homosexual and everything like that. But in their culture, when you want to have an in-depth conversation, they lock hands and hold hands. It's the idea of this is important. We're connected, and I don't want you to get away. But that's something they do, and that's something that I've had a man to totally lock his whole arm, hand, and pull me right up, and man, his face was about right there. I thought, I feel a little awkward. But it's important to have these kind of things. Quality time, giving acts of service, giving words of affirmation, giving personal touch, and giving gifts. Giving gifts does not have to be some flamboyant, big, gigantic thing. A preacher friend of mine, his wife recognizes love by gift giving. So what does he do? When he's out and about, he will buy Hershey's Kisses Or he will buy a little Snickers bar or something like that. He will walk in the door. He says, honey, while I was gone, I thought about you and I bought you this little Hershey Kiss. She's like, oh, thank you so much. It's totally an act of love towards her. Now, some of you may have said, well, I read that book and it didn't work in my life. Well, let me say something about that. Number one, read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Number two, you have to have an action for a reaction. Have y'all ever seen those things that sit on people's desks, those little balls, and they're connected by a cord there, and they take one and let it go? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a good sound effect, amen. And those little things are going back and forth. See, that's scientific. For every action, there is a reaction. Ain't that right, Miss Science Teacher? All right. So we look at this and we see that this is love as well. There must be an action to have a reaction. Are you with me now? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Timothy. Keep your place in Timothy. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. I'm talking about relationships this morning, making them what they are. Making the relationship what they are. Givers cannot last when someone is not giving back. Quality time, giving acts of service, giving words of affirmation, giving personal touch, and giving gifts to someone will represent love. You got to find out which is their primary and secondary love language. Remember what I said several weeks ago. Charity in the Word of God, we find the word love, 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 love. But then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and it says charity. Why is it that way? Because that word there, it is saying that it is an action. It is an involvement. It means benevolence, doing something because of love. Remember, charity is doing, moving, and working. Working. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14. Look at this. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that as one died for all, then we're all dead. The very beginning part of this, though, says the love of Christ constraineth us. It is the love of a holy, righteous God that saved us. It is the love of Jesus who was born in a manger. It is the love of God that comes upon us and we are saved. And as we are saved, then the love of God continues in our life and it constrains us. This word constrain means to urge and to the extent of force. It works two ways. Because I love Christ, He urges me, He moves me not to do some things. Yes, to His love in me keeps me away from some sinful things. But His love inside of me moves me forward for His glory. It moves me forward so that I can have an effect on other people's lives. The word constrain is talking about an urge. The love of Christ constraineth. The love of Christ urges us. We've got to do something. We need some action in our love. We need more than words. Amen. The good news is, y'all ready? The good news is we can all become givers. Even if you're a taker, even if you are a high taker, even if you're somebody that is an unbeliever. I know a man in Kentucky. I met him several years ago, and it was obvious in every single relationship he had, he was a taker. He was a taker. He was a taker. He'd call you on the phone. Now, sometimes I get in a business mindset, and it's something that needs to take place. It's something that needs to happen. And I'll call somebody on the phone, and I'll say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, okay. The reason I call, I go right into it. But I try my best to have at least a minimal, small conversation, unless it's something that's got to happen real fast. But I try to call and say, how you doing? How's your family doing? Is everything going on work all right? I try to have some sort of conversation so it doesn't look like that I'm bypassing the person and just trying to get information. Right. This old boy, though, when he called you on the phone? He said, hey, brother, this is what I need. He didn't say hello. He didn't say how you doing. He didn't say you okay. He didn't do any of that. He said, hey, this is what I need. He was a taker, 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 taker. And in our situation, I was the giver in our relationship. But you know what happened, man? Our pastor went through a series about giving. Giving to others, doing for others, making much of others, esteeming others. This old boy got under conviction, was down on the altar multiple times. At one point, he asked me to pray with him. And I'm telling you what, his life turned around. He was already saved. But he needed the love of Christ to constrain him, to urge him to do something for others. That old boy became a giver. So it can happen. You can become a giver. What needs to happen in our relationships is that I give and you give. I give, you give. You give, I give. If we're both givers in all of our relationships, guess what we all are? We're not takers. We're receivers. And if we're all receivers and we're all givers, joy, happiness, peace, contentment, rest will be in your relationships. Amen? Page one. The Apostle Paul, in our text and in these two books, I would encourage you to read 2 Timothy in the light of the Apostle Paul being a giver. Take this week and read 2 Timothy and see all that Paul is trying to do in a young man's life. But let me say, this relationship is very different. The Apostle Paul, he met a young man named Timothy. Timothy was nothing like the Apostle Paul. Paul was raised in a strict law-filled home. Timothy was raised in a bicultural home. His father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jewish. Paul was an older man, and Timothy was believed to be a teenager. Paul was confident in his beliefs, his calling, and in himself. Timothy was just the opposite. Sometimes I meet preachers, and obviously y'all know by now, I'm confident, amen. I'm confident in my calling. I'm confident in my beliefs, and I'm confident in myself in Christ. But I've met other preachers, man, who are so humble and so meek that they put off this kind of vibe that almost like I can't do it. I don't know if I can. I'm not sure or not. And I think, man, how is that going to work in leadership? But they're not me, and I'm not them. Amen? We see Paul was like this. Timothy was unsure. Timothy was uncertain. Paul would say, hey, go and walk for days or ride a mule or whatever he was doing. Get in a chariot, and I want you to go way out there to people you've never met that I've met. I've preached to them. Go out there and teach them some doctrine. I was in Mozambique, Africa, and we were there in Mozambique and couldn't understand a thing. I didn't know the language at the time. And in Mozambique, there's thousands of languages. And we were there, man, and we'd gone out into the interior. We'd gone out into the bush country, and we were there in the bush country, and languages are flying all around. I don't know what's going on. I was preaching in one church, and I had two interpreters. I would preach in English. The guy would translate it in Portuguese, and then another guy would translate it in a language called Masanta. And it was a long day. And, man, they're just sitting there on the ground. In this little mud hut church, they're sitting there on the ground, and man, they're just soaking it up, taking it all in. But then we went into Malawi. Malawi, they speak a language called Chichewa. Don't try to spell it. But their main language is English. Walking around, we were there, and my director came to me, and he goes, I got a problem. I said, okay. He said, I can't be in two places at once. He said, you speak English well? I said, maybe. He said, you speak English well enough? He said, but I speak Portuguese. I'm going to go back to Mozambique. You're going to stay here in Malawi. I said, what? It's the first time I've been in Africa. I'm in a foreign country, and I'm not too sure about this. I was kind of like, what? You're going to leave me in another country, and you're going back in that other country? I mean, all kind of stuff was going through my mind. He said, well, I need somebody here to preach and teach. I need somebody here to give the Word of God. So for 3 days, I stayed there in Malawi. He left and went on out. Now, I know this is crazy. I know this is crazy. But the church was not even, the church was about the size of this right here, these pews right here. This is about the size of the church. And over 100 people ended up packing that place out. They were sitting all on the floor. I know you ladies may not like this, but it's just the way it is. The women sit on the floor, and the men sit on these little benches. It's the way they do it, all right? And the place was packed full. There was people standing along the walls and at the back door and standing on. Every day it grew. Every day it multiplied. It was amazing. I was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. Then it came time to go. It came time to leave. And I was in a position thinking, man, how am I going to get out of this country? You know why it was the biggest reason? They want a car in the town I was in. Not one car. Not a truck. Not a car. The only vehicles they had in that town was bicycles. And I wasn't going to ride a bicycle for several miles in 100-degree weather in a foreign country trying to get back to, and, you know, who knows what a bicycle would have cost me when they saw my skin color. But what ended up happening was we asked this one fella, hey, we need a car. He said, I'll get on my bicycle, ride to the next town, and see if they have a car. So he got on his bicycle, rode to the next town, and came back that night, knocked on our door, and he said, I found a truck for you. He said, the guy's going to come in the morning. He'll come here and pick you up. Well, this guy, nice guy, we met him, spoke English and everything like that. He said, yeah, I can get you to Mozambique, no problem. He said, ain't no big deal. He had a little tiny Toyota pickup, little two-wheel drive pickup, and we got on it. We put our little bags on the back. We got on the back, and this guy thought he was Mario Andretti. I mean, he was sticking that. I mean, we were sliding all down the road like this and flying and carrying on. I thought, Lord, have mercy. But all that happened in that, it taught me that I could do something in Christ. But see, my director, who believed in Christ and believed in me, you understand what I'm trying to say? The Apostle Paul does this with Timothy. Paul is a giver to Timothy, and this is how the relationship gets started. Paul was confident, Timothy was not confident. One thing that we see, even though they had a divide in where they had come from, we see they had a divide in who they were at their ages and everything like that. But what we find is mentor had a disciple. They became friends, and the Apostle Paul even said that he was a co-worker. He said that you are great for the ministry. Man, that's because Paul started off giving to Timothy. And then Timothy did the reciprocal. He began to give to Paul. They built a great relationship together. We can learn from their relationship. Paul could have overpowered Timothy. He could have easily been the taker. He could have been forceful in the relationship. Instead, he built the relationship on giving. On giving. Three things you need this morning, and we're going to close. Three things you need. Giving into relationships needs, number one, acceptance. There's got to be acceptance. You've got to have acceptance into relationships. Nobody's like you. Amen? Yeah. Nobody's like you. You may have some traits like your mom or dad, but nobody's like you. We're all individuals, and God has created us as individuals so that we can bring Him greater glory. Amen? We need to have acceptance. There are quirks, differences, and ways that we all have. Amen? You might leave somebody's house and say, they're different, ain't they? And when you left the house, they said, that fella's different, ain't he? You understand what I'm saying? We all have things in our life that we do different, that we say differently, that we think differently, and so forth and so on. We need to have some acceptance. Now, We do not accept sin. Let me tell you a story. There was a woman I know. This woman was a strong Christian lady, her and her husband. And her husband's uncle was a drunkard. I mean, he woke up every morning and had to have the bottle. Every day, he was going to drink. By the end of every day, he was going to be drunk. And he would get himself into weeks of fits, weeks where he would be just stoned out of his mind because of alcohol. And where he was in his life, there were many times where he showed up at their door. He had no food, he had no money, and it was all because he had poured it in himself through alcohol. And this little woman, she said, "We'll take you in. We'll give you some soup. We'll give you some bread. We'll give you some coffee. But that bottle you got in your back pocket is going to stay outside of this house." You see that? She said, "I'm not going to accept your sin, but I'm going to accept you. I'm going to accept you." And he would put that bottle. I was there one time and saw it happen. Stumbling around, all this kind of stuff, out of his mind. But when she laid the law on him, buddy, he reached in his back pocket and he set it right over there against the post of the porch. And she held the door open while he walked in. I'm saying to you that we need to have some acceptance into our relationship. This is giving to others. You do not codger to their sin. Amen. But let me say this. In your relationships, it is your obligation to tell them about Jesus Christ. You are obligated by the command of Jesus Christ to tell them about His saving grace. You're obligated to do that. But can we celebrate someone's difference? Amen. God made them. God made us. Number two, we must have acceptance. Number two, we must have awareness. Awareness. Have your eyes open. Amen. Have your heart open to them. You know what? You know what? Awareness, the best way to have awareness is shut your mouth and listen. Listen, listen, and listen. And don't fake listen. Like your TV, like I was talking about. Right? Listen. We must have acceptance and we must have awareness. 2 Timothy, I told you keep your place in Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. I'm saying to you this morning, relationships, making them what they are. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." He told Timothy, he said, all of these things that are in my life, all of these things that I have, some of it was character, some of it was that God had put in his life, but some things had come to him by the outside world against him. He says, "You know, Timothy. You know, Timothy. Isn't it good when somebody else understands? Isn't it good when someone else knows about your trouble or your pain? Somebody can say, I've been right there. I've been there, and I understand it." Awareness. Learn the people with whom you have relationships. If you do not know them, then guess who the taker is? A, I'll give you three choices. A, you. B, you. C, you. Y'all want to, anybody? All the above. Amen? If you don't know them, then you're the taker. You follow me? We've got to be givers in our relationships. You need to have awareness to what is going on with your relationship. Amen? Everybody with me? Must have acceptance to be giving in a relationship. Must have awareness to be giving in a relationship. And I've already mentioned this, but I'm going to bring it around again. We must have action. in our relationships. How can they know that you care about them if you don't do anything? How can they know? Friends, believers, we need to reach out to people. We need to extend ourselves to them as the arm of Jesus Christ. Do it in the name of Christ. We should do as Paul and stretch ourselves in giving for our relationship. Don't go into it looking for receiving. Just be as Christ was, a giver. Do we deserve anything from Christ? Absolutely not. We don't deserve it, but He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you love people? You care for people? Give. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, You're so gracious to us and kind. Lord, as I was preaching, Lord, I was thinking about how, Lord, You did every one of these things. Lord, You accepted me even as a sinner. Lord, You were aware of my situation, but You still kept coming to me. And Lord, Your action is beyond comprehension. To leave Your throne, to be born into poverty, to walk this world, and then to die cruel death upon a cross, and then be resurrected in triumph over it all. Thank You, Lord, for giving. Thank You, Lord, for being my example of giving. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you